Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and it's one of my favorite days of the month. I'm telling you what, every month we have Dr. Troy on. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I know he's one of your favorites, too, because we hear from you, and you love him and love these segments. So phone lines are open. You can call with your health and healing questions, 877-933-2484. Dr. Troy and I just believe passionately that God wants you to flourish in your health. We also believe passionately that we need to partner with God. There are things we can do, tweaks we can make. And I think you have to almost get to a point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired before you're ready to maybe make some dietary changes, exercise changes. But you wouldn't believe some of the most simple tweaks could make some of the biggest difference. So we're going to talk about that. We're even going to talk about walking through tough seasons and how these tough seasons affect us physiologically, chemically, emotionally, and even spiritually. So we'll get Dr. Troy on in just a moment. Let me give you that number, 877-933-2484. It's a toll-free call, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Dr. Troy. I want you to know Spring Share begins next week, and we want to just invite you to prayerfully partner with us as we continue to grow and go and reach people for the kingdom. Whether you listen by radio or through your favorite connected device, your support helps Faith Radio to provide relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching. You can give safely and securely online at myfaithradio.com or call the toll-free number during when we're not on the live show, 877-933-2484. But just want to say thank you in advance for your generous gifts. And let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. It is located in Eagan, Minnesota. I get that question a lot, just so you know. Eagan, Minnesota. And Dr. Troy travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company, oh, it's already in his bio. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're an overachiever. I forgot. That's in your bio. I didn't need to mention it a second time. Sorry about that. Good to have you. So you know you've been on the show so many times. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yes, absolutely. So it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Fantastic. Talk more about that one.
Well, this one, actually, I owe Dr. Chad, our partner at the Synapse there. We were in our meeting this morning, and he brought this verse up and was talking about it in regards to what he was working on at the time. And I heard it, and I said, that's exactly what I'm going to use this afternoon. Thank you for that, Dr. Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. And so the first thing is when we're talking about people going through seasons of life and just challenges, and in our world in particular, in the healthcare world, there's just a lot of suffering. That's what we see. And it breaks my heart to see people suffer going through what they're going through. But I want to just flip that upside down, if you will, and really encourage people to take a different stance on the suffering and realize that God allows the suffering as part of the healing. And with this verse, it really is important in a couple levels. The first one is he is a God of peace. And so as we suffer, we start to lose that feeling of peace. So it's important to go back to God because that's how we regain our peace. So we have to keep God first as we're going through these trials and these seasons. And the next part is the sanctification through and through for him to sanctify us. And this is what Dr. Chad spoke on this morning. He said it's very, very key to look at what came first and what came last there. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. There's a reason that spirit is first. And so as we go through these seasons, it's important to seek God, because we're going to be challenged and we're going to need God. When we try and do things ourselves, that's where we start to see the major league breakdown, where people don't actually get through the season. And for me, what's on my heart is just the struggling people. If they come in to us and we help them with their health, that's what we're there for. If people never improve, that doesn't help anyone involved. And so we have seen the suffering that people go through. And when you actually place God first, and when we start to get our mind and our soul aligned, and we start to work on the body, that's when we start to see the true healing occur. But it's very important for people to realize the body is last. We see a lot of these symptoms, and there's a lot of physical manifestations, and I can go through some of those as far as what we see and how I want to create some awareness of what happens. But it is absolutely imperative that we keep that alignment there as far as spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. It's part of the healing process. And I just hope that people who are going through a challenging season, whether it be with their health or in some other way in their life, that they see, or in their spiritual walk, that they see or hear something that 'll give them a little bit of hope that there is an end to it, number one, but you have to walk through it. And the reality is, I'm going to use the physical body as an example here. There is always a breakdown before there's a breakthrough. And that's true for muscles. If you're building down, if there's any growth of muscles, you have to tear the muscle down to build it up. And we see the same thing spiritually. And when we walk people through a health crisis, there are many times within the health crisis they want to give up. And I'm here to tell you that's normal. That's common, because as you completely become vulnerable within the seasonal challenges that you're going through, that's when we actually see the breakthroughs. And that's when God can work on us the most. That's when we as practitioners can work on you the most. And it's that vulnerability to the process and allowing the actual vulnerability to occur that helps people with the healing. And so for us to grow whether it's our muscles or our health or as a human being, we have to have that tearing down process. And the breakthroughs do come right after the breakdowns.
So true, Doctor. I'm just thinking of the times I've seen you over the last couple of years when I've been at those places. On one hand, I've sensed great compassion because you really do have a shepherd's heart. But I also see your eyebrows go up a little bit, like you're so close. And your encouragement to say, you know, you are so close. This is normal, and this precedes the breakthrough. And I think maybe someone needed to hear that today, because you said to me one of my last appointments that far too many people give up too soon. They're so close to a breakthrough, but they lose heart and they give up. And Scripture is full of exhortation to not lose heart, to do what we can do to strengthen ourselves so we can press on. And that's part of what you do in your practice, isn't it?
It's quite a big part of it. And truthfully, as you work with people more and more, it becomes easier to have confidence that you're doing the right thing, because you've seen this many times before. You've seen the breakdown many times before. The first couple times in that walk, it was a huge leap of faith on our part as far as walking people through. And I've said this many times, but when I get stuck clinically, I pray about it. And there was many times early on in my career where I would not know with certainty, with 100% certainty, if we were pushing things too much or going down the wrong track. But there was certain key indicators I would get from their examination, or when I'd pray about it, just a peace would come over me that we're on the right trail, and then we would see the breakthroughs. And so there's a lot of faith involved from both sides of that conversation when it comes to the doctor and the patient. And there are many times where we course correct, because with discernment we see that this is not really how it's supposed to be, and you have to make a change. So there's a lot of, I know people really like to think that the science of healthcare is laid out and it's 100% accurate, but it's not. There's a lot of faith when it comes to both sides of this conversation. And when I read that, the spirit, soul, body, it reminds, this is not just for the people seeking help with their health. This is for the people taking care of the people seeking help for their health.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way conversation here when it comes to that.
Well, they got to care for themselves as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, otherwise, multiple system breakdown. We're going to pause here, but Chris from Anoka, Mark from St. Paul, you guys are up next. Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484. Call Dr. Troy with your health and healing questions. And, Doc, if there is a break in the phone calls, I'd like to revisit this whole idea of the challenges that we face physiologically and spiritually. What are some symptoms you've identified when we're walking through hard times? So what's the ripple effect on our system? So often we treat symptoms, and we need to maybe go to the root cause more often. More with Dr. Troy in a moment. There's a reason that song is number one. That's Corey Asbury, The Reckless Love of God, because we need to know God will kick down doors for us. He'll move mountains to get to us, and often he uses people to do that. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl from Synapse Center for Health and Healing joins us. He joins us every month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And I joke that I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. But Dr. Troy really is one. And he's here to answer your questions. 877-933-2484. We've got Chris checking in from Anoka. Hey, Chris, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm so thankful to be able to ask this question. I've been wondering how much you can tell me about the ketogenic diet and how it might affect thyroid. I was accepted into a study. I did a 10-week study, and I've just stayed on ketogenic since last fall. And I feel great in a million ways, but then I've heard that it's not good for thyroid, and mine is kind of tweaking around. So wondering if you could respond to that.
Yeah, actually, if managed properly, it's very good for the thyroid. So the one thing it can do is disrupt thyroid medication, so you do have to watch that. As far as if you're on any medication, then that just might need to be tweaked. But my two cents is that if your normal function is returning, restoring, and you're doing well, less medication is usually a good sign. Now, it also depends what set up the thyroid disorder in the first place. And there's a couple scenarios where you just have to watch a few things with the ketogenic diet. And number one, you have to stay very, very hydrated when you're doing that diet. Make sure that you keep that water going, because you can start to develop kidney stones if you end up going too far in one direction. The amino acids and the proteins that are involved are actually very good, but you just have to make sure you stay hydrated. The second part of it is, if your thyroid was from an iodine deficiency, you want to make sure that iodine is a part of your program, and natural sources for iodine within the diet are acceptable in the ketogenic diet, and many times you still need to be supplementing with that. And the third part of it, many, many times the estrogen imbalances in the body can impact and alter the thyroid, causing the thyroid problem. So if anyone goes on that diet and does have thyroid disorder or dysfunction that's not related to their medications, then most likely it's because of an estrogen imbalance. And estrogens, to clear them out of the body, you have to make sure that your bowels are moving, which with ketogenic, sometimes constipation become an issue. So adding magnesium and the water, like we said, and good amounts of fiber can help with that. And the plants, the greens, it's very, very important to have the herbals and the greens and the plants to help offset the estrogen so you can clear them out of the body. We will actually put people on that diet and manage their thyroid, and things do improve. So if done properly, it can be very, very helpful. So I do like that that question, because it, when you really understand how the body is working together, it's actually a very good diet and program for it. But you just have to do the few things that we said. Make sure your water stays high. Make sure you're getting your greens in there to help with estrogens. Make sure the bowels are moving. And if you're on medication, just make sure that your doctor doses correctly depending on whether your need has decreased for it.
Chris, thanks for that question. Okay. Thank you. Bless you. 877-933-2484. Mark is checking in from St. Paul. He's got a question for you, Doc. Hey, Mark, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a family history of muscle cramps. My father suffers from them. Multiple members of my brothers, my sons, we all suffer from them. Most of the time, our levels are completely normal. Electrolytes, magnesium, potassium, even the CK, I believe it is, comes back normal. I've had some that I've had to be in the ER to try and get rid of, and my longest lasting one has been 3 weeks in my arm. So I'm curious if there's something that you can do for to get rid of these things.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've seen this a few times with patients. I'm not 100% sure I have a full answer for you, Mark, but I'll throw some things out there and see if there's something that that resonates. So muscle cramping that's non-electrolyte related is usually secondary to dehydration or an area of the brain called the basal ganglia. So the basal ganglia sets the tone for muscles and emotions. And so whenever we see a cramp that doesn't go away, if it's the whole muscle, the entire muscle is contracting and it is staying in contraction, I would go to that basal ganglia part of the brain. Now, the basal ganglia, usually there's not a genetic component. Sometimes there's weaknesses. It's the same area of the brain that we find Parkinson's in, but don't hear that I'm saying that you have Parkinson's or anything like that. But if someone else within the family lineage has Parkinson's, been diagnosed with it, then that would tell us that the basal ganglia is primarily the culprit. Now, with the basal ganglia, it takes just one sensory stimulus to get it going. So it can be anything from a stressful event or a physically stressful event to cause it to the muscles to keep firing. So if there is some correlation that way, as far as a mentally stressful event or physical, it can be anything. It could be an impact to the shoulder, the actual neck itself. And then one of the keys to basal ganglionic dysfunction is that many, many people will also develop a sleep disorder as part of it. And so we see maybe if there's sleep apnea or if people are not remembering their dreams properly, that could be another sign. And age is very much a component of it as well. So a muscle cramp shouldn't last a couple weeks. And if it does, then the basal ganglia is usually the main player. You can get a PET scan. It's like an MRI, but it measures blood flow. And if it's increased to the basal ganglia, then the muscles can start to get more and more cramped like that. Seeing someone for identifying which muscles are already in spasm. So a lot of times you might notice the particular cramp area. There might be other areas of the body that are chronically tight that if you continue to work on those, it'll send back better information to the basal ganglia. And then the basal ganglia is very, very dependent upon certain brain chemicals. So dopamine and serotonin as well. So if there's any anxiety or depression, by treating that serotonin or dopamine imbalance can actually help more with the cramping as well. So maybe something within there you'll find useful.
Can you do any kind of neurological clearing if there's kind of a repetitive communication? Like if, let's say, something neurologically stuck in a circuit in his brain, can you do a clearing? Would that be helpful
in
that situation?
So what Susie's talking about is something that we do at our clinic is called neuromuscular reeducation. And the clearing that she's talking about is this is actually the very first time I was on your show, Susie. I talked about the post-traumatic war vet who had that locked-in syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through the basal ganglia. His muscles were all frozen. So, Mark, it's not like one muscle. His entire body had locked up. And so we found out that it was basal ganglia. And when we did some work and reset how his brain was communicating with the body, he was able to move and relax. And so there are some techniques to do that. I was trying to give you some guidance to do it on your own. But people who do EMDR or clearings at our clinic can identify and improve that function. And then general exercise, riding a bicycle and moving the muscles can also start to reset that area of the brain as well.
Mm. And raise the serotonin, I would imagine.
And raise serotonin. That's right, Dr. Susie.
Like I said, I play one on radio. Thanks, Mark, so much. 877-933-9333. 2484. So Peggy checking in from Detroit. Just a heads up, we've got 3 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. So we'll do our best to get Troy to answer that question. But if we have to pick it up on the other side, we do. So there you go, Peggy. You got Dr. Troy on the air.
Hi, Dr. Troy. This is Peggy from Detroit Lakes.
Hi, Peggy.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. I got a cold, but other than that, I'm doing great. I have a very quick question. I don't know how quick the answer will be. And Dr. Susie, I'd appreciate your input too.
You just made my day. Thank you.
There is some immunotherapy that is being used for cancer treatments. I wonder what is that and why is that not being pursued for, like, for myself with the adrenal fatigue or for fibromyalgia? And that is my question.
Great question.
You know what? That is a good question. So immunotherapy for the cancer, I'm not 100% certain which one you're talking about. But generally speaking, the cancer treatments have gone the direction of let's kill the cancer cells. So they target the fastest growing cells in the body. That's why we lose our hair when we actually go through some of the chemo. So they are starting to change gears a little bit, and they're starting to look at how do we enhance the part of our immune system that we know now goes after and kills cancer cells. So that, I think, will have an application when it comes to other health areas other than just cancer. We don't hear a lot about it right now. It's right in its infancy as far as what we've seen. Now, I'm not in that field, so we're getting it always secondhand from the patients that have either gone through it or are about to go through it. And the second part of that is with fibromyalgia in particular, the biggest problem with fibromyalgia is the area of the brain that regulates your immune system when you're sleeping isn't working. So your immune system's not getting the signal to go in and clean up the mess from the previous day. So enhancing the immune system, immunotherapy for fibromyalgia wouldn't work if you're still not fixing the original problem as far as the messaging breakdown from the brain to the body. Now, if there's a compromised component to that part of the immune system, then it would work. So it's really all about identifying where the breakdown in communication is. With fibromyalgia, you have to make sure the signals from the brain are getting to the muscles and the end organs of the immune system appropriately, and then support the missing link, or the weakest link is a better way of saying it.
Okay. So it's the same thing for the adrenal fatigue as well.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. So the sleep, you have to make sure that you're getting the restoration each and every night for the adrenal fatigue. And the adrenals will get fatigued because of some mental, chemical, or physical stress in the body. So there's multiple things that can continue to put an extra stress load on the adrenals. It can be from the sleep disorder or lack of sleep. It can be from inflammation in the digestive tract, hormonal imbalance, mental stress, anxiety, depression, all those things can play a role into the adrenal fatigue scenario. Infection's another one.
Got to jump in. So sorry. Hard break here, but Peggy, thanks so much for calling in. Julie from Duluth, we'll catch you after the break.
Something inside you can't deny.
So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Dr. Troy Spurl, CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month for both hours, generously gives of his amazing time when you think of how busy he is to answer your health and healing questions. Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484. We've got Julie checking in from Duluth, but just so you know, Mary from Lionel Lakes, and then James from Madison, you guys are up next, and then Jean after that. So, Julie, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. My question is, I'm due for a hip replacement. My age is 55, and my concern is how do you know that both the legs will be even afterwards? Because it appears, as I've watched other people with post-hip replacements, that they still have somewhat of a limp.
That's a great question, because this is the counsel I usually give. Our patients that come in, we always check them right before the hip surgery, and we do our best to align the hips as much as possible. So when there is an imbalance in the pelvis with the muscles, so if the muscles on the left part of the hip are pulling more than the muscles on the right, and we do have these imbalances, and if you walk through life, that increases the wear and tear on one hip versus the other hip. So in the chiropractic field, there are chiropractors who do kinesiology, check the muscles, and most chiropractors will check for leg length. But the ones that work with the muscles and they reset the muscles, if you get those checked and reset before the surgery, that it aligns the pelvis up. And then when they do the replacement, it's a better likelihood of having everything line up. And so we've had very, very good outcomes when they have checked that first before the surgeries themselves. Some people will actually have a short leg, and it's an anatomical short leg, but it would have been that way your entire life. If that's the case, then a heel lift is required before surgery and even after surgery. So it'll be one of those two scenarios. But I always encourage people to get assessed and get their muscles balanced as best you can before the surgery. And the outcomes are just that much better. So your thought process is bang on, because if you can keep that balanced and they get a nice, beautiful new hip put in there, I've seen just people's lives open up as far as being able to walk and be pain-free. And I'll tell you one thing. The hip surgeons in this town are phenomenal. I've seen absolutely good results with the majority of the hip surgeries, the patients we've sent in for hip surgeries.
Thanks, Julie. That's so hopeful. All right, we've got Mary checking in from Lionel Lakes. James, you're up next, and then Jean. Hey, Mary, thanks for holding.
Hi, Susie and Dr. Troy. I have a question regarding insomnia. I'm in a really bad insomnia flare-up right now. Hmm. It's something I've struggled with for over 25 years. And yesterday I came across an article online about a condition called dysautonomia. And I'm wondering if you're familiar with it, because the list of symptoms sounds like me.
I'll say it in a different way. So dysautonomia, it's talking about your autonomic nervous system. You've got the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. How that shows up in your life, we will say it a different way. It's your fight or flight response versus your rest and digest response. So sympathetics will help you with the fight or flight. Like if a tiger's chasing you, your brain says, oh my goodness, it's a tiger, let's run. So it'll send all the information from your brain to your arms and legs, and it's the fight or flight response. So we always jokingly say, if a tiger's chasing you, run, don't fight. That's just my two cents. I know, good counsel. Bump, right? So fight or flight. Now, when you're in fight or flight, you cannot be in rest and digest. What that means is if a tiger's chasing you, it's a really awful time to take a nap or sit down and eat lunch. So your brain will not support those systems. So dysautonomia means you're not properly going back and forth between your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. There's a breakdown in the regulation. Now, many things can cause that. Chronic stress that causes neck tension and compression between the occiput, which is your skull bone, and the top of your cervical spine, can cause a weakening of muscles in your airway that don't allow you to have proper sleep. So that can set up dysautonomia. Long-term chronic intestinal inflammation can set up dysautonomia. Long-term mental stress just by itself without the muscle contraction can set it up as well. And so there's a lot of things you can do to help regulate that, to get into the fight or flight response. One other chronic contributor is excessive caffeine. So if you drink too much caffeine, or coffee is the number one culprit, that can set up dysautonomia as well, as far as stimulating the sympathetic. So anything that stimulates the fight or flight, and this is actually what my next book is about, because too many people are coming in, almost all of the patients that come in, when we check them for how well are they balanced between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic, between the fight or flight or the rest and digest, well over 90% come in with dysfunction. So I would say it's probably the most common challenge people have with just being healthy is that imbalance between their fight or flight response and their rest and digest. And in this world, it's go, go, go. And even when you sit down and stop, if we're worrying, we're still in that go, go, go mode. And so there's the last thing that I didn't talk about that can trigger the imbalance is worrying secondary to blood sugar regulation issues. So the brain chemical that helps us not worry is called GABA. And for that to occur, we have to have balanced blood sugar. We can't be consuming a bunch of sugar because that will lead to an imbalance with GABA. And as we age, we're more likely to worry. So a lot of my patients will come in and they get to that stage where their kids have graduated, they've moved on, and all of a sudden they leave the house and all the responsibilities have decreased and their stress goes up. And it's always because they're worried about what their kids are doing and how their life is going. And they've replaced one physical stressor with a mental one, and the mental one ends up taking more of a hardline attack, if you will, on our fight or flight response. So it's very, very important. Number one, be still and learn to be okay with being still. And if you can't, there's something physically or chemically off that's holding you back.
I've been off of sugar and wheat for 2.5 years, and I recently started doing deep breathing, relaxation, guided meditation things at night. That's helping, but it still doesn't make me fall asleep.
There will be something, either there's something physical then. So I would encourage you to be assessed and make sure that the physical component is there. I had a patient who hadn't slept through the night in 20 years, and we found a pretty significant restriction, again, at the top of their spine and the head, and we corrected it, and it was shutting down the airway. And she called us back the next day and said, I have good news and bad news. The good news was that I just woke up, is what she told us. And this was 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And so the bad news is I missed work because I've never had to set an alarm before. I slept right through work as a nurse. And so so there's something there that continues to trigger that response.
We have to jump in here because we've got, I'm sorry, Mary, we've got to take some other calls. James has been holding for almost 20 minutes, so I need to get to him. So sorry, Mary. We got James next and then Jean checking in. James, sorry for the long wait. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi, Dr. Troy and Susie.
Hi, James.
Thanks for taking my call. I have my 10-year-old daughter has dealt with constipation and reflux. It's always diagnosed as GERD for basically her entire life. She's been on Miralax for pretty much her entire life. She was on Prevacid for a very long time. They just switched her to Nexium. Just yesterday, she had both an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. And as has been the case every other time, they found nothing significant wrong with her. But they prescribed more medicine.
Wow.
And it's frustrating to me that at 10 years old, we just keep throwing more medicine at her, but we can't seem to come up with a reason why, or, you know, what can we do to make this better for her?
James, first of all, James, you're a good dad. Thank you for
absolutely.
That call and the care. What do you say, Doc?
Well, this is actually very common. And so with the kids, if the medications don't work, that's not the problem. That's generally what we see. And so with kids, it's not that they're making too much hydrochloric acid. Hydrochloric acid is very hard to make in the body. It takes a lot of energy. So to be making too much of it at that age is very rare. Almost always, it's a timing mechanism problem with when their stomach releases the acid. The number one cause with kids is their stomach is caught up on the diaphragm. It's called a functional hiatal hernia. And so it's pretty easy to check and see. They'll actually have some pain in between the ribs, just off to the left side of the ribs, and there'll be some significant tension there. Going to someone who actually can assess that and treat it, because it can actually be treated pretty quickly just by pulling it down, then the stomach starts to heal and release the stomach acid at the right time. The second cause after that is a food allergy or food restriction or food intolerance. Dairy is the most common at that age, and The third cause is usually a bacterial infection, very unlikely at that age, but it can still do it. H. pylori is the number one cause. A lot of times the medical doctors will check that after a time period if the NXIVM things aren't working. But almost always it's a functional hiatal hernia. And I'm going to give you a name. I believe, James, you were from Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There's a Dr. Eric Johnson who interned at our clinic, and he would be able to discern which of those three scenarios it is. And this is one of those things where we've had multiple kids come in and they've same story almost to a T, and we'll treat them once or twice and the symptoms are gone. Sometimes it requires a lot more, but when it is that stomach caught up on the diaphragm, it will mimic GERD. And it's a very easy thing to correct, and depending on how long your child's had it, will determine how many corrections it is. And if it's not that, Dr. Johnson actually can help move you in a different direction. This sounds very much like a functional problem and not necessarily a medical one when the medications aren't working. If the medications worked, different story, but we do see that a lot.
So Dr. Eric Johnson in Madison, we get a number of calls from Madison, and speaking of which, we've got our last break of this first hour, Gene, so sorry to make you wait. Just got a minute and a half break, and then we'll catch you, Gene, from Madison. And here's that number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're taking your questions, and Jean from Madison deserves an award. She's been holding for a little bit here. Jean, thanks so much for your patience. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am wondering if you have any experience or knowledge with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and if there's anything dietary that can help with some of the chronic pain that might happen with that?
Yeah, we've worked a little bit with that in the past, and so there hasn't really been a lot of support with the pain side of it. Anything that reduces just the overall inflammation has been good as far as the digestive, the dietary things. You still have to do some level of restriction with the actual food reactants. If you can identify which foods are causing any type of inflammatory reaction, that still is helpful to reduce the overall inflammation, and it'll take the edge off scenario. We have seen CBD oil do work a little bit better with that, and some of the essential oils actually work better than just the dietary changes.
Gene, thanks so much for the call.
Great.
Bless you, dear.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have a great day. 877-933-2484. We've got a couple off-air questions here. One's from Virginia, checking in from Minneapolis. She says, I've been using melatonin to help my 7-year-old boy with autism sleep better. What are your thoughts on melatonin?
Yeah, melatonin can actually, there's some benefit there. With autism, though, that we see there's a challenge in the intestinal tract to maintain a certain level of normalcy when it comes to inflammation. So as there is more inflammatory responses in the intestinal tract, we'll see a decrease in serotonin coming from the digestive system. And the majority, 60% of serotonin is actually made in the digestive system. So with autism, there's the sleep problems and challenges occur more readily because of the intestinal inflammatory scenario. So if you can manage the intestinal inflammatory scenario, generally speaking, you don't necessarily need the melatonin. If that becomes a significant challenge, then melatonin's okay. I always encourage people to do both because you're going to get more benefit by reducing the intestinal inflammation as well. Generally speaking, though, it's not more is better scenario. So 2 or 3 milligrams is plenty when it comes to the melatonin with the kids. You don't generally need to go up more than that. I would work the other direction, keep them on the 2 or 3 milligrams and start to clean up the inflammatory components of the digestive tract.
All right. Thanks for that. We're going to grab another call here. Tammy checking in from Hudson. Hey, Tammy, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi. Hi. Nice to talk with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is so exciting. I have been on a health journey since my son was born in 2002 and saw several naturopathic doctors, several chiropractors. Now I'm seeing physical therapists. That's excellent. But I'm seeing this guy in River Falls, actually. Have you ever heard of field control therapy?
Yes.
Okay.
Cricket.
I need to make an appointment with you because I have, this is like 15 years, he's going to be 15, you know, in November, and this has been just a journey for me. But he's like a toxicologist, you know, he takes like 2.5 years to get into, but Lord willing, I was able to get into him only on a 4-month wait. And, you know, found out seeing him, I had Lyme's disease on top of a torqued pelvis, a ton of food allergies. So now I'm seeing a physical therapist and I see this guy in River Falls every 6 months. And so he has cleared, you know, I've been cleared of the Lyme's every time that I've come in. It took about 1.5 years. So I am so interested in meeting you and hearing more about what you do. But you do, are you a fan of field control therapy?
Yes, I've seen some definite benefits from it too. So I know, yes, yeah, I definitely have. And so there, I don't use it or haven't been exposed to it enough to comment one way or the other. I generally will work, use it in the realm of identifying things that are hard to identify when we don't have good standard testing for it. And so we do see some different roads we can go down with some of the field control therapies that we see, well, people who go through that process.
And he did recommend that I went to the Mayo Clinic, I think 2 summers ago, just to rule out MS. And what Mayo came up with was ankylosing spondylitis. That was the only diagnosis that they had for everything, you know, after all the tests and stuff that I did. But any advice on that? That's just an autoimmune disease,
yeah, so,
really, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so infection like Lyme's can trigger autoimmune. And so with autoimmune, it all comes back to managing the immune system. So autoimmune is basically means confused immune system. And so there's a couple basics always. You want to make sure your vitamin D stays really high, close to 80, high normal, not high out of range, close to 80. Good omega-3 fish oil or omega-3 oils. And glutathione is the major antioxidant. And those are your baseline markers, along with making sure your digestive system is healthy. And that's the basis for all autoimmune. Once you start to build off of that, you can start to look at other factors like heavy metals or hidden infections and hormone imbalance and food allergies and clean all of those up. There's 8 other triggers for autoimmune, and it's all about managing it. If you feel good and you're healthy, the other part of that is I want you to embrace that you feel good and you're healthy and no need to keep looking. So there's that part of health
point.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you've been on the journey you've been on, it can become your new full-time job. And I want you to just, I know what you know what I'm talking about, right? Just you're always digging into what next. And I want people to also hear that when you're at a certain point of health, to be okay with that.
Okay.
And it's okay to take a break and be healthy and live life and enjoy a little bit of life as well. So it's not autoimmune is one of those scenarios where there's always something to work on, and there's always something to work on with us just being human. So we've always got something, but it's also important to take a break.
And God has been so good through it all.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing to watch him change me through it all too. So
Tammy, thank you for that.
Awesome,
praise God for what you're doing.
Bless
oh,
you
thanks.
For that call
thanks
and
so
all
much,
your
Tammy.
Hard work on your health. You're an inspiration. And that what you just said, I think, is a word for somebody today, Doc, because, you know, we've talked about this and had other guests talk brain science before as well. But you get a confirmation bias when you are on repeat thoughts. You're looking for evidence to back up your repetitive thoughts.
Absolutely.
And when you're in a chronic health thing, you identify so much with it. That's all you think about. So I feel like what you're saying is, man, celebrate the victories. And when you have moments where you're feeling well, enjoy life and have other aspects to your life than just your health struggle, right?
Yes, absolutely, because there's healing in that too. If we can get so caught up in what next that we forget that I just sat down, had a conversation with my family, and I didn't have a headache. I didn't have to leave the room. I could actually appreciate the time with my family. So enjoy your family, and all that does is just pour into having more fuel for the gratitude that we have for God, for what he's brought us through and where we're at. If we don't take a moment to stop and say thank you to God, then we lose the reason why we're going through a lot of this in the first place. And that brings us back to what we started at the beginning of the show, is just making sure that we're constantly checking in with God. And part of the checking in is just say thank you too. It's not always just a one-way, you know, asking for more healing. Say thank you for what you've already had. And that can be some of the toughest things to do when you're gone through so many years of suffering. 15 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And so she sounds great. She sounds very healthy.
Yeah.
And sounds like
and
she's
grateful.
And grateful. So yeah. That was just something I want people to really hear, because you can get caught up in the muck of your health journey. And so it's important to just smell the roses, as they say.
It is. And, you know, as we've talked about this on other shows, Doc, but it's good for your soul. It's good for your cells. It's good for your brain to practice gratitude, to embrace joy. I mean, the Lord offers us joy in all situations, all circumstances. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And as we get into striving, as you say, we can make it our identity in such a full-time role that we miss the joy of the journey. So I just
absolutely
feel like such a good word. We've got about 2 minutes before we take this hard break at the top of the hour. Don't know if you can answer this one in such a quick moment, but in my 70s, John says, has arthritis in his neck and hesitates to do surgery. Orthopedic surgeon recommended medical marijuana. What are your thoughts?
I do know that CBD oil has some benefit. Medical marijuana, the doctors, I've worked with a few that are starting to use that. We've seen it with some pain management and with seizure disorders be effective. And so there is some effectiveness to there. I would say this, just like everything else, just head into it with caution. I personally don't have enough experience with it to know definitively say, yeah, go ahead and do it. There are some reservations there, and I do know, I will say this, there is less likelihood of repercussions from the medical marijuana than some of the opiates that they've been prescribing prior to this. So there is a component to that I've seen and have read recently. A lot of the research that is out on it has been actually beneficial in the last 2 years. Prior to that, I would have had a definitive no on that question. But I've actually seen things and my eyes have been opened in a certain way, mostly because most of what we've heard about marijuana prior to medical marijuana was negative as far as how it impacted people's lives. And I've had many, many people's lives actually be destroyed because marijuana was the gateway drug to something worse. And that's in our youth. I have no concerns that in your 70s, sir, that you're going to go that direction per se. But the only reason why I hesitate is because of those past experiences with just the challenges families have gone through. But that we're talking about a completely different scenario as far as the type of marijuana and also having the doctor actually regulate it. Those are two different scenarios there.
And so, oversight. And even as you said, OxyContin, some of these other pain meds have also been gateways to terrible addictions. So.
Yeah.
We got to pause here. Hour one is up. We got another hour with Dr. Troy. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy today on Live the Promise. Phone lines are open. I see a few emails coming in. We're going to try to cover those as well. But here you go. You can be the next caller, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.